Today is March 11th, year 2007. It's the third Sunday in Lent. Last week we talked about the reason that Lucifer got cast out of heaven and the other rebellious angels that followed him, and the root cause of which was pride, and the object of his fall was Mary. God used his lack of obedience to Mary is which really got him cast out of heaven. That's how he disobeyed God. Now this week we're going to talk about Adam and Eve and their original sin and what caused them to rebel against God. And when we complete this, I'm going to be reading again from Mary, God's Masterpiece and Lucifer's Fall, which is one of my books that I have posted up on my website and that is available if anybody wants to order it. And we're going to be reading from the last chapter of it that I finished. I haven't finished the book yet. I plan on continuing if I ever have some time to do it. But this is the last chapter in that book, and it follows exactly the chapter I just finished last week about Satan's, how he fell from heaven and the reason he fell. Now we're going to read about the reason, what was the original sin and what was the motives behind it. And that chapter is titled, Satan Prowls the Earth, Satan Tempts Eve. Lucifer, now called Satan, fell from grace after the earth was created and before he tempted Eve. The angels observed God create the earth and Adam and Eve. It was then that God tested the angels by revealing his future plan to take on the flesh and nature of a human in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwell upon the earth in intimate communion with humans. It was then that God told the angels that they must obey and submit to his future mother, Mary, his greatest masterpiece. Satan and the angels that followed him failed the test and were cast out of heaven to earth and into hell. Jesus, quote, saw Satan like lightning falling from heaven, Luke 10:18, and quote, for God spared not the angels that sinned, but delivered them drawn down by infernal ropes to the lower hell unto torments, 2 Peter 2:4. Hell, which is in the center of the earth, is the eternal prison for the fallen angels and damned humans. God permits fallen angels, also known as devils, and damned humans to leave hell, prowl the earth, and tempt, obsess, and possess men. Quote, woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. Apocalypse 12:12. And one of the reasons we know that the earth had to be created first is because where was Lucifer when he's casted out of heaven? Where did he land? On earth, so earth already existed. See? God punished King Saul's disobedience by permitting devils to harass him. Quote, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. 1 Kings 16:14, and we read the Douay Rheims commentary, quote, from the Lord, an evil spirit by divine permission, and for his punishment either possessed or obsessed him, end quote. And in just today's gospel reading, we read about Jesus casting out devils and talking about the empire of the devil, the power that he does have to possess humans. Jesus spent much of his time casting devils out of people. At first, hell was only inhabited by the fallen angels. God created paradise, a place on earth also known as the Garden of Eden, and then created the first humans, Adam and Eve. Adam was made from the slime of the earth, and Eve was made from Adam's rib. We quote from Genesis, and the Lord God formed man of the slime of the earth, and breathed into his face the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord had planted a paradise of pleasure from the beginning, wherein he placed man whom he had formed. And the Lord God cast a deep sleep upon Adam. And when he was fast asleep, he took one of his ribs and filled up flesh for it. And the Lord God built the rib which he took from Adam into a woman and brought her to Adam. And Adam said, this now is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. End quote. Genesis chapter 2 verses 7 to 8 and verses 21 to 23. God commanded Adam and Eve to populate the earth with pure, innocent, and godly children and gave them, humans, dominion over the earth and all its creatures. Quote, and God blessed them, saying, increase and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the air and all living creatures that move upon the earth. Genesis 1:28. Adam and Eve were created never to die. God gave them the fruit of the tree of life in paradise to eat of, which sustained their life. Quote, And the Lord God brought forth of the ground all manner of trees, fair to behold and pleasant to eat of, the tree of life also in the midst of paradise, end quote, Genesis 2:9. As long as God allowed Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of life, death could not come upon them. Just as the angels in heaven, so also the humans on earth, must undergo a test to see if they would remain faithful to God. Being created perfect, pure, and innocent, Adam and Eve had no knowledge of evil or the high good things of God that they could not bear and did not need to know. God set aside the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the midst of paradise and forbade Adam and Eve to eat its fruits under pain of death. They could eat the fruit of every other tree, quote, and he commanded him, saying, of every tree of paradise thou shalt eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in what day soever thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt die the death. End quote, Genesis 2, verse 16 to 17. This was a test of obedience for Adam and Eve. Will they obey God, proving their faith and trust in him, or will they abuse their free will, become infected with pride, and disobey God by eating the forbidden fruit? They did not need to eat the fruit, for they had all they needed. If they disobeyed God, it would only be due to the sin of pride, which would compel them to covet what they cannot have and to be more than what they are. Eve was the first to disobey. The instant she began to covet the fruit of the forbidden tree by a simple curiosity, wondering what it would taste like and what would be its effects, God then allowed Satan to leave hell and tempt her. Eve's curiosity invited the temptation of Satan. If Eve were not curious, God would not have allowed Satan to tempt her. Satan, taking possession of the body of a serpent and speaking through it, tempted Eve. And we read from the book of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the earth which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, why hath God commanded you that you should not eat of the every tree of the paradise? And the woman answered him, saying, of the fruit of the trees that are in paradise we do eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of paradise, God hath commanded us that we should not eat, and that we should not touch it, lest perhaps we die. And the serpent said to the woman, no, you shall not die the death, for God doth know that in what day soever you shall eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good to eat, and fair to her eyes, and delightful to behold. And she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave to her husband, who did eat. End quote. Genesis chapter 3, 1-6. Eve's answer to Satan proves she was already infected with pride that led her to covet the forbidden fruit before Satan tempted her. She answered, God hath commanded us that we should not eat, lest perhaps we die. Genesis 3:3. God did not say perhaps they would die. He said they would definitely die. Quote, for in what day soever thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt die the death. End quote. Genesis 2:17. Before Satan tempted Eve, she was preparing an excuse that would allow her to eat the forbidden fruit without dying, pretending God did not actually say they would die. She was preparing to disobey God before Satan tempted her. We read from the Haydock commentary on Genesis 3:1, quote, indeed, quote, as if the serpent had overheard Eve arguing with herself about God, God's prohibition, with a sort of displeasure and presumption. St. Augustine thinks she had given some entrance to these passions and the love of her own power, and hence gave credit to the words of the serpent. They're saying Satan was, maybe God was even allowing them to read their minds at that time, but they didn't even, whether they knew it or not is regardless. And he already knew that she was doubting and that she was already contemplating to eat it. That's what they're saying here. And Satan knew he had a chance to get her, and also, that also allowed God then to permit that to happen because she was already curious. Curiosity by itself is not sinful. It is, if it is abused, it can be sinful or lead to sin. God wants his creatures to be curious about the many things he created, to discover and investigate them, to learn of their nature and qualities, and to see the great beauty, power, and intricate perfections of his creations, which redound to his glory. Quote, "For by the greatness of the beauty and of the creature, the creator of them may be seen, so as to be known thereby. For being conversant among his works, they search and they are persuaded that the things are good which are seen." Wisdom 13:5-7. Unbelievers could never find God if they were not first curious about who is the true God, causing them to seek and find him. But creatures are not to be curious about things forbidden by God. There are things God does not want men to know or do, either because they are beyond his station or capacity to know or do, or because they are evil. We read from Ecclesiasticus 3, verse 22 and 24. "Seek not the things that are too high for thee, and search not into things above thy ability, but the things that God hath commanded thee, think on them always. And in many of his works be not curious, in unnecessary matters be not over curious, and in many of his works thou shalt not be inquisitive." And it goes on to say, "Because there are many things shown to thee above the understanding of men." That's verse 25. Only the chosen Levitical priests were allowed to look upon certain items of the sanctuary. These were undoubtedly very good things, but God did not allow others to look upon them. The Levitical priests was the priest under the old covenant. We read, "Let not others be by any curiosity see the things that are in the sanctuary before they be wrapped up, otherwise they shall die." End quote. Numbers 4:20. Eve's original sin began as a fault that placed her in the near occasion of sin. At first she did not contemplate eating the fruit herself, but wondered what would happen if someone else ate it. And this was a fault. Her unlawful curious contemplation of what would happen if someone else ate the fruit while not thinking of eating it was the fault, the near occasion of sin that was the seed of her future original sin. No good can come from such a contemplation, because God has already spoken. Quote, "For on what day soever thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt die the death." Genesis 2:17. Eve progressed from contemplating what the effects would be if someone else ate the forbidden fruit to contemplate possibly of eating it herself. You notice, because homosexuals and people infected with lust or drug addicts or any sin, thieves, it doesn't matter, they first talk to people about it as if it's evil and as if someone else doing it, just to see the thoughts in your mind. They don't even try to tell you to do it. They may even say, admit it's bad, but they just want you to start thinking about it. You see this? This is how you can notice, is the effect. They'll start talking about it, about someone else doing it, not you doing it, but he's putting those dirty thoughts in your mind, and he's seeding those things, you see? So anyway, Eve is first contemplating what would happen if somebody else did. Now, so Eve progressed from contemplating what the effects would be if someone else ate the forbidden fruit to contemplate possibly eating it herself. Eve sinned in her heart the instant she thought of the possibility of eating possibly eating the forbidden fruit. And this is when Satan stepped in to tempt her. He confirmed her forbidden and erroneous thoughts by lying to her in a hope to move her from possibly eating the fruit to eating it. Was Eve curious for the good or the evil knowledge she might gain if she ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil? Eve was not curious to know evil because she had no concept of evil at that time. Rather, she was curious to know the good things that were beyond her capacity and her right to know. She simply wanted to know and be more than God had given her to know and to be, because she knew no sin. She wanted to have those extra good things that wasn't her station to know. Quote, this is from the St. Andrew Missal, 1953, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, one of their readings there. Pride, says St. Thomas, is a vice by which man seeks to exalt himself beyond right reason, above what he is. It is based on error and illusion. On the contrary, humility is founded upon truth. It is a virtue which tempers and restrains the soul, so that it does not pretend to be more than it really is. The humble soul accepts with complete submission the actual station which falls to it, and which is that assigned to it by God, the supreme infallible truth. End quote. Only God knows all things. So logically, no creature can know all things. All creatures have limitations and boundaries. We read from Proverbs 22, chapter 22, verse 28, pass not beyond the ancient bounds which the fathers have set, end quote. God sets boundaries for men, speaking through the fathers, the religious leaders and prophets, who under the new covenant are the popes when they teach infallibly. Even in heaven, God's creatures, angels and saints, have boundaries and limitations. They cannot have and know all the good things that are to have and to know. They gaze upon the supremely best sight of all, the most fair to the eyes, the most delightful to behold, the beatific vision of God. They see God face to face. As Adam and Eve gazed upon the beautiful tree of knowledge of good and evil in the midst of paradise. Yet the angels and saints cannot sit on God's throne, nor possess all knowledge and power that God has, because they are not God. There are places that angels and saints cannot go and things they cannot know or do. And if they had any covetousness in them, they would covet God, His throne, His power, and His all-knowing knowledge, just as Lucifer did, and rebel against God. Because the angels and saints in heaven already passed their tests, proving their perfection in humility, faith, love, and total submission to God, they will not fall from heaven. They passed their test for eternity. Adam and Eve were allowed to gaze upon the tree of knowledge of good and evil and rightly admire its beauty, but they were not allowed to eat of its fruit. God was testing them to see if they were prepared to gaze upon Him, the beatific vision, the supremely delightful sight, without coveting Him, which would lead them to covet His throne, power, all-knowing knowledge, and rebel against Him. Satan tempted an already weakened and doubtful Eve, who already sinned in her heart, with the same prideful thought he had in heaven that led to his fall. He encouraged Eve's sinful thought of possibly eating the forbidden fruit by telling her she can be more than what God made her to be. Now, I have a footnote on this, so I'm going to read from footnote. It's a footnote in the book. We clearly see the same rebellion today in the extreme. Feminist women want to be men. They want to sit on their husband's thrones as boss of the family. Effeminate men abdicate the position given them by God and want to become women. Parents want to be children and children want to be parents. Women want to look like men and men want to look like women. Old people, instead of growing old gracefully, want to look young. Subjects want to be rulers and rulers act like subjects. Homosexuals not only want to be treated as normal, but they want to get married and raise children. This is all leaving your station which God has given you. And this is to super evil things even. So we go on to say, Satan encouraged Eve's sinful thought of possibly eating the forbidden fruit by telling her she can be more than what God had made her to be. Not only that, Satan promised her even more, which is where her sinful thought was leading anyway. Satan told her if she ate the forbidden fruit, she could be like God, in the sense of possessing all knowledge and power that God has, and thus be, if not greater than God, at least His equal. See, that's what we said last week, how He tempts His people that. Quote, from Genesis 3:5, for God doth know that in what day soever you shall eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He's trying to want her to be more. Look at how beautiful that tree is. Don't you want to be as beautiful as that and even be more beautiful? But Lucifer wanted to be like Mary. He wanted to take her place and be number one. It's the same thing. We read from the Haydock commentary on that verse. It appears that our first parents had flattered themselves with the hopes of attaining divine knowledge of all things. End quote. Satan, lying to Eve, led her to believe that God envied and coveted humans, thus implying God has a weakness. If God is afraid of His own creatures gaining too much power and knowledge, He must not be strong enough to prevent it. Thus, His power and authority can be usurped. Of course, that would either make God not God, or make Him a weak God who is not all-powerful, who can be equaled or conquered. Eve was the first, but not the last human to challenge God in this way. God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, addresses these perverse thoughts of rebellious men who either think there is another God who came before or after the true God, after the God they no longer agree with. I say the true God, the one they no longer agree with, or that God is becoming weak, he's losing his power and wisdom. We quote from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 to 11, and 13, verse 13. Is there a God besides me, a maker whom I have not known? I am the first. This is God speaking. He's speaking to man because he knows their thoughts. He's saying, is there a God besides me, a maker whom I have not known? One above me that I don't know about? I am the first and I am the last. And besides me there is no other God. That's Isaiah 44, 8, verses 8 and 6. Now we're going on to read those other verses. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I myself am. Before me there was no God formed, and after me there shall be none. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. I am from the beginning, I am the same, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall turn it away? So why would God have to say this to people? Because they're believing there is either a God besides him that came before him, or God is not powerful, he's losing his power. He goes from the beginning, I am the same. I am just as powerful as I was in the beginning, and all-knowing as I am now. Why is God saying that? Because those are the thoughts people are getting in their own mind. So Satan, knowing Eve had already contemplated disobeying God by coveting the forbidden fruit, and knowing Eve had not experienced God's wrath, and thus his full power, knew she could believe his lie. Eve, whose understanding was already darkened before Satan tempted her, succumbed to Satan's lie. She began to think that God may not be God at all, or he may have a weakness. This is evident because she believed, trusted, and obeyed Satan instead of God, placing Satan over God, the creature over the Creator. Eve succumbed to Satan's temptation and ate the forbidden fruit, and then offered it to Adam, who ate, and alas, humans see and feel God's wrath for the first time. To Adam and Eve's great dismay, the result was not what they expected. Instead of becoming like God, possessing all knowledge and understanding, they became much less than what they were, and worse, they now knew evil and death, which before they knew not. The knowledge they now had of the good things they were not supposed to know was a curse to them instead of a blessing, because they could not comprehend the true meaning of this new forbidden good knowledge. This good knowledge is beyond their understanding that God had given them, which led to their confusion instead of enlightenment. This new good knowledge, like trying to comprehend infinity, that's a conflict I have. This new not good knowledge that they could not understand confounded them, and even made it difficult for them to understand the truths, the good knowledge God had given them to understand. Add to that the forbidden knowledge of evil they now possessed. Lust, lying, envy, greed, stealing, cheating, deceiving, hating, etc. And the confounding becomes even worse, and the way is open to deadly sins that were previously unknown to them. Shame now came upon them because of their disordered passions and knowledge of evil. Their affections and nature were changed for the worse. God, true to his word, punished Adam and Eve with suffering and death after they ate of the forbidden fruit. Their work would now become laborious, and only by sweat could they bring forth fruit, which is now mixed with thorns and thistles. A wife's submission to her husband would no longer be as easy, natural, and pleasurable as it was before the original sin was committed. Husbands must now contend with their wives, whose flesh is inclined to rebel, who may disobey their husbands and not perform their daily chores. Wives must contend with their husbands, whose flesh is also inclined to rebel, who may not provide properly for the family, and or treat their wives and families poorly. To be good and obedient now became a struggle for both men and women. Women would now bring forth children in pain. In such a condition, Adam and Eve were no longer worthy of residing in the Garden of Eden and eating of the tree of life. God cast them out of paradise and placed good angels guarding the entrances to prevent humans from entering. We read from Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 to 19 and verses 23 to 24. To the women also, he said, I will multiply thy sorrows and thy conceptions and conceptions. And sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thou shalt be under thy husband's power, and he shall have dominion over thee. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat, cursed is the earth in thy work. With labor and toil thou shalt eat thereof all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the earth. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the earth out of which thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. And the Lord God sent him out of the paradise of pleasure to till the earth from which he was taken. And he cast out Adam and placed him before the paradise of pleasure, and placed before the paradise of pleasure cherubims and a flaming sword turning every way to keep the way of the tree of life. End quote. Indeed, after Adam and Eve's fall and punishment from God, they did not doubt and knew again as they did before they sinned that God is God, with the added knowledge that he indeed is all powerful. They and their children and their children's children face a life of struggle, suffering, repentance, penance, and reparation in obedience to God if they want a hope to be resurrected from the death that God had cursed them with. And that's the end. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.